Okay.
All right, it being 5:30, we'll call this meeting to order. Do I have a motion to adopt or modify the agenda? Actually, I've got one modification already. Let's move 7 up to 2A. If that's okay with everybody.
Yep.
Do I have a motion to approve?
Move.
A second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Passes. All right, approval of minutes from September 15th.
Make a motion to approve the minutes from September 15th.
We have a second.
Second.
All right, all those in favor?
Aye.
All right, number 7, discussion action, MCE contract with TDS broadband installation.
So this morning, and I think it was in September, that TDS had come to the village board to let you know, make you aware of a fairly large utility project to install telecommunications throughout the village of Alloway. We had a meeting today with them, about a two-hour meeting, to talk about construction and their schedule. This is an extremely large project. They're looking to put fiber. They're looking to connect fiber to every home in Alloway. About 5,700 customers, plus or minus. They're looking to put in 70 miles of fiber. When Brad and I were made aware of this project a month and a half ago, we had made a decision that to help manage this project, that we would look to get help from a consultant to help review the plans, help with the permitting and the inspection of the work. We had reached out to Dan Becker at MCE. We've worked with them in the past on a lot of the utility projects that have come through Alloway, and they put together a proposal. That proposal is included in the packet tonight. Their overall cost to assist the village with this project is, roughly speaking, $76,000. The permit fee that we would charge TDS would cover this expense along with the other expenses.
$70,000 TDS will cover.
Yeah, plus their cost, which is roughly speaking $76,000. Plus, any additional expenses we have, they would cover our time as well. Derek Taylor, engineering tech, myself will have time providing Dan the information to use to review their plans to help with the permitting and to do the inspection in the field. We're gonna have some additional costs outside of our own time to include locates, and we haven't yet determined that, but we will, and those expenses will be provided to TDS via permit fees.
And so is there any cost to the village in all fees?
No.
Will it have to be bid out if it's going through us?
No. Consulting services? No.
Professional services? No. No. Don't necessarily have to do that. Yeah.
And do we have a contract with TDS yet, or an agreement in place that says they're going to pay for it?
No, we have. They haven't given us anything in writing, but they have told us verbally that yes, that this is what they're typically accustomed to for smaller communities that don't have the staff to take on this kind of work. Dan, do you want to go over your contract a little bit?
I can, yes.
Come on up, Dan.
So our firm, MCE, I'm one of the three owners. We also employ 8 individuals. We're based in Green Bay. The reason we were contacted is our firm did create permit drawings for communities for our own projects, and we also manage our own installations through contractors. So we did a build through Alloway for Brown County a few years ago, so we became very familiar with Alloway's permitting process, as well as the community itself. Being local, we're already familiar with the community. But this fit real well with our services. And what we had done, as we took our experiences working with Alloway permitting in Alloway, and we broke them down into how much of a charge would be for reviewing somebody else's permitting work, being that we're familiar with it, as well as just doing weekly and monthly meetings between the village, the contractor, and MCE, as well as doing the inspection, on-site inspection, knowing the process, knowing the contractor. So we took those three components, multiplied it by the amount of footage that they have, and broke it down into a rough per-foot charge that would be assessed on the permit. It came out to roughly about 20 cents a foot. For all of the management throughout the course of what TDS anticipates to be roughly a year-long installation. They would like to pack it into April through December of 2022. In our conversations, they did say that it could very likely go April to April 22 to 23. And then in an offline conversation that I had with one of their contractor representatives, he did say they were going to ramp up into the project. They're not going to hit it full speed right away, so it's more likely that it'll be a full year-round project, April to April. So with that being said, we did talk, and from my own experience working in communities on my own projects, the inspection fee is generally a fee that is not published on the application. It's a fee that is billed from actual costs. So TDS is very familiar with this, and the 20 cents per foot is in line with what a lot of these inspection fee billings are. I know the city of DePere is at roughly 14 cents a foot for their inspection fees, but then they've got blanket fees that are on top of that. So they're probably roughly around 17 cents a foot. The reason ours is a little bit more is because we threw in some more communication here between the village, the contractor, and us, just for added meetings, simply because there's going to be so much going on at one time that, unfortunately, the village's phones aren't going to be ready. You know, TDS has a great plan to notify residents when they're, you know, it starts 45 days out, then it goes 14 days out with a letter, 7 days out with a construction postcard, 3 days out with a door hanger, and then when they're on site, they've got billboards and placards that are in the area that are doing the construction. So they do their very best to make sure that the residents know who's doing the work. But knowing these projects like I do know that the first thing that many residents are going to do is they're going to call the village and say, what's going on in my front yard? Why are these lights here? So with the way TDS wants to build this, there will be phone calls. So we did add a little bit extra time for communication between contractor, village, ourselves, and the residents.
What do you mean by the way they want to build this?
It's an all-underground installation, and it is very visible. One of the things that Josh said from TDS that I agree with is, as a resident, I don't discern between my property and the right-of-way. If you're in what appears to be my front yard, there will be questions.
Okay, they're not going on people's private property.
No, they're not. Okay. No, this is all within the right-of-way. But
they will appear there on their property. Mm-hmm. People will think they are.
Yeah.
You work on a building?
Yes. Everything they'll do will be directional drilling. They wouldn't. Alloy really doesn't have any areas that's conducive to plowing and trenching operations. It will all be drilling.
Is the cost not to exceed, or is that the?
It's a per foot cost, so it can go down based on the amount of miles they put in, or it can go up based on the amount of miles they put in, but it still is relatable to the actual construction.
Well, the project management part was like per meeting.
Oh, yes. That's based off of a year's worth of meetings, so that is, again, at the top end of what could. This is very likely to be a not to exceed. If anything, it will go down from our conversation today, because it sounds like they trimmed 3 miles off of their plans already. So this was, I think, 71 miles, and today they were talking 68, 69 miles.
What 3 miles are they trimming?
What's that?
Prison.
Okay, yeah. All right, I'm fine there.
It was,
state wants it, they can pay for it.
I don't know.
Go ahead.
It's on Riverside Drive.
Okay.
But explaining to them today after our meeting that we have some potential projects moving into that, so they're going to revisit.
And we've got some businesses that may want 5 or 2
yeah.
down there. Okay.
So the individual homeowners or whatever, if they want the cable, they pay for the connection, or cable provider, TDS provides it.
TDS provides it at no cost.
To the house.
And the way TDS is designing this, what their goal is to get all of the excavation within the right-of-way constructed and ready during this April-to-April construction period. Then anybody who wants this connection to their home, all of that work is done on that homeowner's property. So there's no need to come back and revisit the permitting, holding permits.
How do they connect it to the lot line?
They have what they call flower pots. And the flower pots contain an empty duct that goes into the right-of-way.
Okay.
And what they'll do is they'll build from that flower pot to the home. That
the flower pot above the ground or below?
It's flush. Everything they're putting in is flush now. Yeah. Yeah. They're, with the exception of their electronic components, yeah. What the resident sees in front of their house is all flush now.
In the cabinets, there are a number of those, they said?
Three nodes.
Three nodes, and they haven't yet determined the location of those, but they gave us a rough dimension of those. They're 6 feet tall, 6 feet long, and 3 feet wide. And they're looking to acquire land for the placement of those. Those three nodes will support this infrastructure that they're going to put in. They would prefer to put them on alleyway property if they can, and then they would pay the village a one-time fee for that.
I try to get all new roads today.
Yeah.
More than one occasion.
Three times.
they're going to break this village up into what they call digital fiber network, and within each digital fiber network will be plus or minus 300 addresses, and they're expecting to have 15 of those. They're going to break the village up into 15 DFNs. And at any given time, once they get ramped up, they're gonna be taken on three at a time, three DFNs at a time, and plus or minus three contractors within each DFN. So there could be upwards of 10 contractors in Alloway next year putting in this fiber. So that's why we've reached out to Dan, and we'll be reaching out to somebody to help with the locates, because we don't have the staffing to oversee this type of project. And all of our expenses that we incur will get passed on to TDS. And that will be through the permit fees that are associated with every DFN. We're going to individually permit every DFN. So there'll be 15 of those. And the way that Dan is proposing to build them by a per-foot basis, it makes it easy, because we'll know the linear footage per DFN. And we still have to talk about how to bill them for the village's expenses. Do we add to your per foot cost? What have you, I know you're working with other communities.
We're working with Suamico as well. And what Suamico is doing is they have their published permit application fee. Anything over 3,000 feet, I believe, is $525. So what they're doing is they're keeping their published fee, and then they're charging for the inspection and management services atop that. So their fee that they get for the permit will cover their time that they'll need for billing, for providing data to multiple sources. So they are covering their time.
A one-time fee of $500?
It's based on per permit. So in Suamico, the build is roughly 200 miles. So they will be broken up into probably, 150 DFNs. So if you're looking at 150 versus, I'm sorry, not 150, 15. So 15 for 70 miles, they're at 200, they'll be at 45. So if you're looking at 45 DFNs at $550 each, that's how they're collecting their roughly $22,000,
$23,000.
We have, it consists of the following. It consists of a standard permit fee. For major utility permit fee is $250 for the application, submittal of the application. And then our fees are based on the time and effort it takes to review, the time that we anticipate to take to inspect the work in the field, and then any other miscellaneous expenses that we have. I determine that on paper and come up with a dollar amount, and that's what they get billed.
So it's done on actuals.
On actuals.
You would like to do it on actuals?
I'm going to do it on actuals. So we're going to have to sit down. We're going to have to make some assumptions on how much of our time will be needed to assist you with this. Mm-hmm. And we're just going to make some simple assumptions that Derek Taylor will assist with this project in 4 hours out of every week starting next year. Will be required for the length of this project and whatever that cost is, and then some of my time, because I'll get involved and we'll have to make some assumptions, and we'll roll that into that price per foot cost.
But it'll still be a time and material. So if you exceed your expectations or your assumptions, we'll get paid what's exceeded.
We'll be able to do it. We'll be able to make some adjustments then along the way with this. Or do we want to be conservative?
What I would say right now is that given all of the feedback we've received from TDS here, as well as my meeting with TDS in the city of Green Bay, they are willing to bend over backwards to get this in. They're going to be cash positive within the first few months of this endeavor. I think we did the math on it. So as far as having language in there, that actuals will, or the price will vary based on actuals, is something that that I feel confident that if we had Josh Worrell from TDS in the room right now,
should we just be conservative with our time and
that's how I approached it.
Why don't we just do that, so we don't have to keep track of hours? I can in the back of my mind in the event that it's taking more time than I anticipated, but we'll just be conservative to make sure that. And we've told them we're not looking to generate any revenue from this. We're just looking to get paid for our expenses. We're pleased that they're coming to Alloway to provide this service to our residents, and we're just looking to pass our cost on
them. And how are they going to be cash positive in the first few months of this if people aren't subscribing yet?
Well, they have a long history of providing the services to their out-of-market, what they call their out-of-market customers, and they're using that basis to project the amount of sales based off of the demographics of Alloway.
In English, please.
They expect to get a lot of customers based off of the communities they built that are similar to Alloway.
Okay, so they're counting on revenue from other communities to offset for the infrastructure into here.
No, they expect people like you and I are going to jump on board because they're offering a great service at a great price.
But what I'm hearing is we can't do that till 2023. So how are they going to be cash positive in 2022?
They may have their first DFN constructed by June. When that DFN is constructed,
then
June,
that group can. Yeah, okay, that's making much more sense to me.
They did a real good presentation, and I was very impressed with how they explained their entire process. So they'll come through with mass marketing to the entire area, and then there'll be projects or there'll be DFN specific with their marketing. So what they do is they build their areas, their DFNs. They market those previous, and then when the contractor moves out, they sell services in that DFN, and a separate contractor comes in and does all the work that's on the private side of the project and starts hooking them up. So within the first few months, they'll have an area of 300-plus homes ready to light up, as we call it, and start providing services.
Any idea what their total cost to them will be to get this done?
I heard a figure of, what was it, $12
million? I don't know.
And then if they get X number of residents paying X number, that's the return on investment.
Yeah, I get that part.
$1,500 per? $1,500
per DSN?
Yeah.
$1,500 to hook up per house?
That's what they figured. That's what the cost is.
So the other side of our business is we do engineering as well, and we work with other contractors to put together bids for other service areas for TDS, so we understand how they want the contractor pricing to be. TDS's goal is to get a contractor in here for roughly, well, their stated goal is $900 to $1,200 per service address. What they're achieving is roughly between $1,200 and $1,400 per service address is what it's costing them to build these networks. And at that rate, they can start doing the math and figuring out how much of the saturation they need to be in order to make this financially cash positive.
I think a perfect example is when they went into Sun Prairie and they ended up with 60% of the market. So very positive.
Our end of the village is looking forward to it.
So I would like to kind of echo a little bit what Dan said. Their presentation today, Sean and I, Derek, attended it. Thank you, Dan, for providing your services there today. They must have had, what would you guess, 50-plus people in the room, plus those that joined via Zoom, from their contractors, their safety, to this supervisor and that supervisor, and they went through and explained the entire project, and Josh, who presented to the board, made that same indication that we want to make you whole. We don't want this to cost the village anything, and that's very critical because it's a private service. But very impressed today. Very impressed.
And fiber's going to be a whole lot more reliable than anything you've got above ground, correct?
Correct.
So what happens when power goes out?
When the power goes out, it affects you as the resident.
Well, people have generators. Is their fiber still going to work?
So if they have generators, their fiber is still going to work.
Okay.
They're digital access points or their nodes have generator backup, and their optical network is entirely passive. So there's
that's
no powered pieces between. So everything PON, passive optical network, that's how they're building this. So then fiber outages, they design it such that if somebody comes in and willy-nilly's a backhoe into a fiber connection, if it's on a radial arm, of course, those customers will be affected, but generally between their nodes, everything's connected in a ring, has dual inputs, so if one gets cut, pops over the other.
Mm-hmm. Would TDS then be the provider? If I'm the resident and I want it, it would be TDS versus AT&T or Spectrum or whatever.
So for infrastructure like this, are they required or do they lease out or sell some of this connectivity to their competitors?
One of the things that they mentioned today was that they'll, for commercial providers, they will provide, and I'll get to the competitors with this, with the commercial providers, they'll provide Metro Ethernet, which is just a higher speed connection. They'll also provide lit circuits, so if you want a 1 gig point-to-point connection, they'll do that. And they'll also consider providing dark fiber. So fiber strands, just like your connection between here and Brown County, that's dark fiber. You own the connection, that is, you own the equipment on the end. So when you talk about a different service provider, Insight's a local carrier. They're working with Insight on dark fiber leases. That's how they're doing their ranks. So, yes, the competitors will wear a competitor hat, but they'll also wear a commercial customer had as well, if there's a little give and take there.
Are they required to do that, or is it just market?
No, they're not. They're not. There were some old PSC commission rules that would have affected that years ago, but no.
I think one of the things to also mention is, per state statute, they can come in and do this without notifying us. So the whole idea of planning this with us is much appreciated.
And the intent tonight is to, they're looking to get started. They, you know, they're going to start sending us plans for our review, and I'd like to get Dan involved as soon as possible. I'd like to send Dan our GIS mapping along with as-built so that he can begin to review their plans as they start to come in. The intent tonight is that we don't have all the answers right now. We do have his engineering agreement, and we'd like to get approval to move ahead with that, or a recommendation to the village board to accept Dan's contract to review plans to help permit and inspect this project. That's the intent tonight.
I would make a motion to approve the contract with MCE contingent on having a contract in place with
TDS.
Because we can't commit to the dollars if we're not getting committed back.
And we won't, and what we have at our...
Well, hold on a second. So I made a motion.
Do I have a second?
Okay. Now
the contract was to for TDS to cover all costs.
Right.
In
an agreement for
if we got a letter from Josh stating that the
Christina
intention
says that's legal.
Yeah.
Legally binding. It needs to be a legally binding document. Correct. Before we commit to it.
But also keep in mind that they're not going to get a permit from the village to do the work unless they pay the fee. We have that at our, you know, at our disposal. We're not going to issue them the permits that they need to do the work.
We're not going to get $70,000 or $100,000 worth of permits.
And we're gonna on a per foot basis per DFN, because we're going to individually permit the DFN separately. Our fees are going to be built into the overall permit fee per DFN. So. They're not going to get it, but we can get a letter. I'm sure they'll provide it, but they will not get a signed permit for me unless they pay that permit fee up front.
I get that.
Okay.
But if it's going to be put into the DFN, into the per foot fee, then MCE has to guarantee us that they're going to cover the cost for the vendor.
TDS.
Yeah. So MCE, if we're agreeing with MCE that the per foot cost is going to include our amount, we just have to make sure that everyone understands and agrees that we are being made whole, and who's going to make us whole.
Okay.
And as long as Christina says it's legally binding, that's all I care about personally. It shouldn't be a big deal if everyone's in agreement with it.
Well, I'm sure that they wouldn't have a problem.
It shouldn't be a big deal. Would you agree, Dan?
I would agree, yeah.
And on top of that, if they don't, then they don't do work in Alloy.
I mean, it's all still just putting in writing what they're saying verbally. That's all.
Okay.
And I'm excited about it.
I am too.
It's funny how AT&T came walking through my yard the other day measuring for fiber.
Did they really?
And I tried to get their fiber 2 years ago when they started marketing it.
Yeah.
And they said it was a provisioning issue. They didn't have it.
I personally can't wait. Yeah. Connection speeds in the village are just a good
thing. So we have a motion.
Any more discussion? All right, all those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Excellent. All right.
Thank you, Dan.
Well, thank you.
Thanks, Dan. Appreciate
Sorry
it.
Sorry if I eat up a lot of your time. I could talk about this stuff all night.
Thanks for being here.
All right. Have a great day.
You too.
Public appearances. There's nobody before us. Do we receive any correspondence?
Nope.
Okay, item number four, discussion action, Webster Avenue concrete pavement and sidewalk repair project update.
Well, there's been a lot of talk, a lot of discussion on this item.
Yeah.
And a lot of discussion. Up on the screen there is a revised schedule for this project. Since the village board meeting on October 5th, I had reached out to Paul Fontecchio, Brown County Highway Commissioner, with my concern of the condition of the underground utilities. And I provided that in the packet, the email to him. And there were some phone calls that went back and forth. And ultimately, what he had elected to do is to postpone this project because of that. I had asked for some more time just to assess the condition and the time needed to put together a project. And I had asked for the end of January, and he said no. Or for the most part, said we can't wait until then to get this contract out. I asked if we could move this project to 2023, and that won't work with his schedule. He suggested 2024, and then we had replied back to him, no, that won't be possible because we're taking on Libel Street in 2024, and we'll have a detour route for that project that will include Webster Street, and we can't have both projects under construction at one time. So it's as of right now, it's being postponed to 2025, which give us more than enough time to put this project together to look at the condition of the utilities, which we've already started. I had Derek Taylor, engineering tech, out yesterday and today, actually Monday, Tuesday, and today, looking at the condition of the inlets. Between 172 and Alloway Avenue, there are plus or minus 45 storm inlets. Of the 45, 35 are in poor condition and need replacement. We haven't looked at the manholes yet, and we haven't yet looked at the condition of the sewer pipe, sanitary and storm sewer, which will get televised in the near future. We have a contract out right now that will open tomorrow for the televising of storm and sanitary sewer from Roselawn north to Green Bay. And I think we're going to learn a lot about our system and the repairs that are needed. We needed more time, and this is probably the best thing. I was hoping to get at this project sooner because of the overall condition of the sidewalk. That won't be possible.
How do you replace the water main without total reconstruction?
Water main?
Yeah.
In that particular case, it would be relayed. The water main right now is located along the west side of Webster Avenue, from 172 north to Alloway Avenue, and it varies throughout the corridor, but it would get relayed. It would be put back in its existing location.
So it would be a reconstruct.
That would be a reconstruct.
And they're open to that, right? Brown County's open to that.
Yeah.
Like in the 2028 time frame.
Yeah. Now, if, you know, based on the condition of the underground utilities, it may now become a reconstruct. It could be a rehabilitation type project, but it's going to be more. It will consist more than just sidewalk and concrete panel replacement. It's taken on a bigger scope.
So that may be the good to put this off.
Yes,
we weren't totally happy with what we were going to get anyway.
Well, right. We and I questioned just their ability with what we're working on right now to respond and do this right. So
we could tell last board meeting, and so I'm glad because I agree with you. Trying to slam that in.
Mm-mm. Well, there's no point in new road and everything else if you just got to tear it up to do the infrastructure
right.
In a couple of years
let's
anyway.
Do it right.
So yeah.
What we do have. An engineer right now, Ari Smith, working on the sidewalk plans. They have submitted plans to me for the sidewalk. They have, through their design efforts, they have noted some things that we have to go back out and further research. We have to go out and collect more topo and maybe have to look at nailing down a couple property lines to just make sure that the work, the way that was scoped, which was to remove and replace the sidewalk from a 4-foot width plus or minus to a 6-foot width, and then the challenges with that, with the retaining walls, poles, etc. There's more work that needs to get done to finalize that plan. I'd like to continue on this plan, but before I have to do any more work, I need to know the condition of the underground utilities so that that work can get included as well.
Question?
Yep.
Knowing that we're going to postpone this, and knowing we had the sidewalk discussion about finding ways to do terrace and everything, is there work now throwaway if we happen to put a terrace in instead of just laying a 6-foot sidewalk behind curb?
It would have been that, not in its entirety. There's a lot of prep work that goes. That's needed to just put together a plan set. The topo we did in-house, but they took our raw data, created a base map. They created the sheets. They drafted an aerial. They established an alignment. Yes, some of that would be lost, but it wouldn't be lost in its entirety. Okay. So I think the best thing to do right now is just to tell them to stop. We have plans from that. We can what we should do is have them put together a cost estimate to do what we've already talked about. So we have that number. You know, you're going to ask for a number to add a terrace. So for comparison purposes, let's get the cost to go from 4 to 6 behind the back of curb. We'll have that done, and then as we learn more about the utilities, that will better define the scope of this project. Whether this is a
And that's, how much money is that? $40,000?
No, other than no, $25,000.
Okay, good. All
right,
so, from us tonight,
I'd like a recommendation to the village board to postpone this project and to accept the dates that have been provided by the county.
Right, yeah.
But to continue exploration of the underground utilities.
We're going
to
do that regardless.
And we're going to get that with the televising, but what other pieces do you need to that?
I already have a approval for that. The televising contract?
Well, no, not that piece. What else do you need to be able to get everything done? What do we need to help you with to get everything done to be ready for this coming up?
And we're going to postpone the project.
But you got stuff to do before that, right?
Other than the televising, is there anything else that needs to be done so the project's ready to go?
Not at this point, because I don't know what that is yet. As we learn more about the condition of the underground utilities, it could possibly change the overall scope of this project from a maintenance type that the county's proposing would be a maintenance. It could go from maintenance to a full reconstruct.
So nothing else.
No,
until
not at
we
this
get
point.
Televised.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. Got it.
I'll make the motion that Sean described.
And that is to delay the project and work with Brown County on the schedule.
Yeah.
Do we have a second? Jim Squared. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion passes.
Nice job, Mr. Sean.
Yeah.
Yes, thank you.
And sorry, I was just trying to. Do you need any other people?
No, not a problem. It happened. You know, things had changed. Their schedule had changed, and as you said, to try to get this done in a short amount of time it wasn't realistic.
And it's such an important project to the village. You got to do it right.
And then you made a good point at the village board meeting. You can't go in and repair the surface without first looking at the condition of the utilities as well. So, and we knew from experience, just from the issues we've had with the sanitary sewer in Webster Avenue, that we need to take a good close look at what we have.
Do you think there's a minimum amount of terrace that's useful?
6.
But there are 6 foot is the minimum.
Yep. You need a minimum 6 feet to install a sign in the terrace area.
Mm-hmm.
It provides the required lateral clearance that the DOT recommends. It's enough to store snow. It's enough to grow a tree. It's enough to grow grass. Ideally, you'd like wider than 6, but that's not always possible.
No one would even, if 4 was all we could get, we could say no.
Well, we'll have to look at that. There could be challenges with the purchase of right away there, but we'll look into that.
All right, 2022 Public Works budget.
All right. We're gonna spend more time on this on Monday evening, but I just wanted to take some time to run through at a high level, and I'll try to do my best to keep it at that. The Public Works budget, starting with Public Works, on the revenue side, we're going to see a decrease in general transportation aid. We've received $425,000 last year. We're going to receive. I'm sorry. We received $425,000 this year. We're going to receive $388,000 next year. So we're looking at a decrease of about $37,000. Recyclable. Every year we apply for a recycling grant through the DNR. That amount will not change. We're expected to receive $98,500 next year. Put towards our recycling program. Public Works expenditures and the engineering department, we're looking at a slight increase to this year's budget of roughly about $21,000. And that is mainly associated with the work that we're going to continue with GIS. We're looking to improve our mapping system and overall update that to make sure that it is reflective of what we have in the ground. And that's important because we talked about it already. I'm going to be providing Dan our GIS mapping system. And we have to have a sense of comfort level with that they can use that to.
How much of a comfort level do you have
Not good right now, but I where we know that the GIS mapping may not reflect what we actually have in the field, we'll have to provide them as-built information that we have, as-built plans for that. So that is the reason why we're seeing an increase to the engineering budget.
Are these numbers in the packet?
No, and I apologize. I'm working off of the budget that was just provided.
If I can try to follow along.
And I had good intentions to put together a summary. I'll get to everybody before Monday. In the street department, we did not, under the DOT contract, purchase salt for this fall and next winter. We have a surplus of inventory right now. Because of a mild winter, we have roughly speaking 800 tons of salt in the shed. Well, it's not in the shed right now; it's in our garage, and we have some down at the public works yard. I expect after this winter to purchase salt under the DOT contract next spring for the fall of next year and the winter of the following. So we're seeing a slight decrease to that. Compared to this year's budget, roughly speaking, $20,000. Sidewalk repair, I've increased that budget from this year from 10 to 20. We need to make a commitment to our existing sidewalk, which is not in the best condition. We had somebody on light duty this spring. In the street department, we sent them out, and they went out and looked at all of our sidewalk. I have a spreadsheet that has I don't know how many addresses on it, but we have a sidewalk that it's at the end of its service life and it needs repair. That $20,000, that increase of $10,000, that's hardly going to scratch the surface. But we had. When we borrowed money this year, I had assumed or estimated $320,000 for the sidewalk repair on Webster Avenue. I'd sent Julie an email today wondering if we could take that money and apply it to our existing sidewalk. And
yes.
Make, yes.
Okay.
So that will help us. And you know, we'll put together a contract to do that. And maybe we can to spread the work out a little bit. We can do 150 of that next year, and then 150 in 2023.
How much approximately is it per foot to the sidewalk?
A square.
Well, and is all of this a rebuild, or is some of this, do we just need to go shave off some?
No, it's for the most part, it's remove and replace
okay.
panels, 5x5 foot panels, plus or minus. So.
Oh, so it's not whole blocks.
It may
it's
be in some cases, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but, yeah.
It gets expensive when you're doing the small pieces.
We're looking at a square is 25 square feet at $8 a square foot. You're looking at, roughly speaking, and that $8 per square foot cost includes the removal, the replacement, and the restoration, landscape restoration around it. You're looking at plus or minus $200 per square. We can you know, take 150,000 by 200. Looking at 750 squares, so that and that will go a long ways. I did the math right. The one thing that gets expensive, and we have a lot of curb ramps out there that are non-ADA compliant that need to be brought up to ADA standards, and those are expensive because it. Not only does it include the sidewalk itself, but now you're removing the curb and gutter, and ramps are at intersections. So you end up having to remove the curb and gutter. You have to replace the concrete sidewalk, and then when you remove the curb and gutter, then you've got to come out 2 feet into the pavement to match the existing pavement. So you're removing and replacing pavement. So it, I use rough. Roughly speaking, a 2,500 to 3,500 a ramp to bring those up to standard. So we can address a lot of our aging sidewalk with the 300,000. What if, Brad, we find that we don't need all of that? What happens to that money then?
So the bond, you have 3 years, I believe it's 3 years to expend a bond. Because it was designated, this 320-ish thousand was designated for sidewalk. You could use it for sidewalk or street. You cannot use it for water, sewer, or storm.
Well, it could be used for street, too.
So that's going to be some discussion we're going to have because it's there. Let's use it to the best of its ability. And maybe we add another street or two next year
for resurfacing.
Resurfacing.
Great.
Right. Knock more off.
All right, so to keep moving here. let's see here. Sidewalk repair, we talked about garbage collection. There's a slight increase there from this year's budget levels of, roughly speaking, 7,000. And that is just the purchase garbage carts, roughly speaking, about 100. Our garbage carts are at the end of their useful life. They need to be replaced. We'll capture, though, that cost through the revenue that we generate by the sale of those. So, should talk a little bit about landfill and recyclable disposal charges. Our landfill cost to dispose of garbage will go up $4 per ton, and that is because of the construction of the south landfill.
Wasn't it eight? Or is it eight one time and then four thereafter?
It will be yes. It will be an $8 increase. However, the county had put money aside into a stabilization fund to help offset that to make the increases more manageable. And they'll be here on Tuesday evening to provide a presentation on the agreement that we went over and to talk about the tipping fee cost. Associated with the renewal of the agreement. So in 2022, we're looking at about a $4 increase to dispose of garbage. However, that will be offset by what we expect to get paid
for the recyclables. The recyclable market right now is really good. We're getting paid $80 a ton for recyclables. When I had budgeted for next year, I didn't use 80, but I used $30 a ton, and we haul, roughly speaking, 1,200 ton to the MRF. That's about $36,000 that we're going to get paid, but it could be more than that. The market could...
It can go less.
Yes, and we'd have to pay to dispose of it again. So overall, in the public works budget, we're looking at about a 1% increase compared to this year's budget levels. That equates to about $30,000. So we're maintaining.
And an overall budget of what?
Overall budget amount of $2.4 million. Move over to the sewer utility. I do want to point out that Julie and Ginny are currently working on a rate case to increase our water and sewer rates. That's not reflected in the budget yet. Not sure that would get implemented next year, right?
February.
Okay.
Roughly February. Today was the actual hearing. Public hearing was today.
Did anyone know?
It was yesterday.
Was it yesterday? Yeah, it was yesterday. God. Yeah.
So no one went?
We did. We
yeah, it was just staff was the only other one, other than Public Service Commission commissioners.
Speed things up here. Sewer utility, we're not looking to bring in any more additional revenue compared to this year. I guess we are with the rate increase. Our expenditures compared to this year will go up, roughly speaking, about $100,000, and that's mainly associated with the cost to treat wastewater. We're looking at about $100,000 increase to that cost.
And that's directly from the MAT?
Yes.
I want that put on our budget. That's spelled out there, right, for anybody who looks at it?
I don't know.
Because that's another one of those costs we just
can't
control.
Yeah, we can. You're looking at about over a 5% increase to the cost to treat wastewater.
Yeah. And he was very clear the other night about we had no choice. So.
Look out for Lynn.
Oh, that is a bee in my bonnet.
So one of the other things that I mentioned earlier, the cost to improve our GIS mapping system. With that, we're looking to purchase a GPS unit to go out and do the physical pickup of the facilities in the field at a cost of roughly $30,000 for this unit. It's a one-man unit that has a degree of accuracy of a 0.04 of a foot vertically and horizontal. So that cost, the cost of upgrade our GIS mapping and purchase this GPS unit will get allocated to five accounts: engineering, parks, sanitary sewer, water, and storm. So that expense has been applied to our budget for next year. I do want to mention that I had reached out to Howard a couple of weeks ago to find out, or actually it was a handful of communities to find out if they wanted to share that expense of the purchase of the GPS unit, and their interest that they would like to share that expense. So it will only improve things budget-wise because that hasn't been applied. I had gotten a verbal acceptance from Jeff Howard, from Jeff Farr there, to say yes, we'll share that expense, we'll share that unit. So that's positive.
Very good.
Moving on to the water utility, no real change in expenses. We're looking at an increase of about $30,000 for a $3.4 million budget. The one thing that was included in that $30,000 increase was to work with McMahon to put together a study to look at how best to provide an emergency water supply. Right now, we maintain two wells, and we operate those, I believe, on a monthly basis, just to make sure that they're ready and they run. And, but there's the possibility of getting water from Green Bay as well. So we want to look at, okay, over the long term, is it better to get our emergency water supply from Green Bay, or is it in the village's best interest to continue to maintain these wells, which will need maintenance in 2027 and 2029, which is expensive.
But I understand our water quality is better now that they're recharged. Or it's not.
Our water quality is better because we're getting water from the lake.
No, I mean the ones from the wells coming now.
No, we still have.
We're over on radium.
We exceed. What is
arsenic
that?
And radium.
Arsenic, okay.
So it's that will get all factored into this report that McMahon will put together.
And where would we hook up to them on Webster?
Yes.
As we
could be Webster, could
yeah,
be Libel.
Yeah, because to me this is all like.
Well, that's if it's Webster, then there's a bigger
yes.
project.
Well, and that's you know as we were looking at that Webster project with the county, we were having discussions with Central Brown County Water Authority about a transmission line from Green Bay into our connection station, mm-hmm. on top of our own transmission line that we use to supply our system. So it's probably in getting back to that, it's probably the best thing we did was postpone that project so we can work some of these things out. So.
If we went with Green Bay, would we then get rid of the water tower too?
No, we'd keep the water tower, but it's possible that we could get rid of some of our reservoirs. We have ground storage at all of our pump stations. So it's possible that with that, we can eliminate some of our pumping stations, some of our reservoirs, and obviously the wells and booster pumps with that. So that would make a lot of sense.
So McMahon's going to do the cost analysis.
Okay, good.
Water department.
Is there a reliability analysis as well?
I was going to ask that.
Because, you know, I don't know what kind of emergency this would be, but if we're down and Green Bay is down,
yeah, it's possible that
then the wells are
in the tower
and
for a short period of time.
We would have whatever we have in our ground reservoirs, which I think it supplies water for about 2 days.
And so if there was an attack on the water system, both water systems, like a bacterial attack or something, you wouldn't want to switch over.
Yeah,
it's kind of part of the risk analysis plan.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then stuff like if the arsenic is high, there's an allowable amount of arsenic, mm-hmm. but for 2 weeks, you know, a little bit high. I don't know.
It exceeds exceedance levels for what were the arsenic?
Arsenic.
I don't know that. I can get you that, but I know that it exceeds DNR exceedance levels, and it's acceptable to use it as an emergency water supply.
Mm-hmm.
But when we do use it, we do have to put out a notice to let everybody know.
Mm-hmm.
Stormwater utility, we'll be taking a closer look at our rate for the stormwater utility next year. That will get started. We're looking at an increase overall to the budgeted amount this year of $590,000. We're looking at about a $45,000 increase. Half of that is due to an increase to the storm sewer contracted services account from $50,000 to $75,000. And that's because of the sinkholes that are popping up all over the place. We're aware of, and we'll talk about it, 20 plus or minus right now, but who knows what to expect next year, so we wanted to increase that account so that we can properly address those as they pop up. And again, you have the GIS and GPS cost in that 45, which is just shy of $13,000. So that, for the most part, makes up that $45,000. So for the most part, we're maintaining that budget level as well. Equipment replacement plan. We're seeing roughly speaking, an increase of about $50,000 compared to budget levels this year, and that's just associated with the repair that is needed to our aging equipment. Our garbage and recycling trucks are at the end of their service lives, and those arms that pick up the garbage carts need work and they need replacement. What did Bob tell me? That the cost to replace one of those arms is, roughly speaking, $15,000 to $20,000. So, and we've budgeted for one of those in next year's budget, maybe one and a half.
That comes from the equipment replacement fund.
Mm-hmm. It does. Yeah, and I guess talking about the equipment replacement fund. Overall, we're looking at an increase of about $50,000. I do want to talk about our equipment replacement fund. We have met a couple times to talk about equipment purchases. This year we had budgeted for the purchase of a vac truck. And we use that vac truck to go and clean and maintain our sanitary and storm sewers. And we rely on that. We're mandated to clean, roughly speaking, about 30% of our sanitary sewer every year. And we also take that equipment out when we were made aware of a sewer back or a basement backup. We don't take it out right away, but when we're made aware of a basement backup, we go out and we look to make sure that that's the main sewer itself is flowing. And if it's not, then there's a plug. And then we grab the back truck, we go and clean it. We use the jetter to clean that out to restore flow. It's critical that we have good, reliable equipment to do our work. The vac truck right now is at the end of its service life. We purchased that in 2001. We've gotten 20 years out of that. And we can't afford to get a call and not have that available. That needs to get purchased next year. And the thing is, with today's conditions with the purchase of anything, we're going to make a purchase spring of next year, but we're not likely to get that truck until sometime in 2023. We need to make sure that there's enough money in the equipment replacement fund to make the purchases that we have. We've been deferring purchases, and now we're at a point where we've got a log jam, for sake of better words. We just have to make sure that the rate that we're applying to our equipment is enough to put the money in there so we can purchase the equipment we need. We're going to do everything we can to stretch the years of this equipment, but we're doing that, and I'm a little concerned that we may not have the money to make the purchases we need to make in the future. So when we talk about that on Monday, we just want to make sure that there's funds in that account, and I know that we've adjusted those rates to help with the budget in the past. Maybe it's time to increase those rates to make sure that we have the funds available to make the purchases we need.
Okay.
That's all I have to present.
More to come on Monday. Stormwater sinkhole repair.
Oh, shoot. I have a spreadsheet. Just
push the button again. I totally disconnect.
Is that the spreadsheet?
Yeah, does everybody have a packet?
Yeah.
Okay. Keep moving.
I see it much better on here than on here.
I have to get to that quick.
And you've got this one.
All right. Last year, we put together spreadsheets to track a number of things, but in this particular case, to track repair needed to storm sewer itself, inlets, manholes. What you see on this list is what we need to get repaired, what we need to address. A lot of what is shown on here, because of the condition of the utility itself, there's a hole above it, a sinkhole. And a sinkhole develops when you get a hole in your pipe. It could be at a joint. The pipe could pull apart. It could shift vertically. Or it could deteriorate to a point where you get a physical hole, and you saw that in the sanitary sewer. And then the material above falls into the pipe. The flows in the pipe carry that material away, and it just continues. The condition worsens as the soils get saturated above. And the flow, if you're at the or exceed the capacity level of the pipe itself, the flow in the pipe, it can draw via vacuum material in. So we have on the list anything that's highlighted red is what we've already addressed. What isn't highlighted are repairs that are needed, some of which we've already reached out to a contractor to tell them to go ahead and get started. And as soon as next week, we'll have the grout out at Libel and Broadview. We have a sinkhole in front of Langley Elementary School. There's been a cone there for some time now. There's been a cone on Brook Ridge. There's a sinkhole above our storm sewer there that needs to be addressed. And
that was just a complete reconstruct, wasn't it?
That was a rehabilitation, yeah. And we've gotten into the habit when we will be in the near future, we televise those streets that we've scoped to be a rehabilitation. We televise the sewer, the sanitary, and storm. We're looking for those things because we don't want to invest on the surface if we have an issue below. We want to fix that at that time. But we've televised that storm sewer, and we don't know where that material is coming in, but it's coming in somewhere. With the camera that we have, we can't tell. We're thinking it's coming through at a joint.
So how do they fix that? Can they slip line that?
We're going to, in that particular, we thought about slip lining that, putting a liner in, but we don't have we had a contractor in town. We had a contract that has already been completed. To get one to just do that spot repair would be expensive, so we're going to dig down and address from the outside. Could be a concrete collar. We'll have to find out what's causing the sinkhole. So, in the end, the money that we had budgeted this year for storm sewer repair is spent. $50,000 spent. To address these other repairs that we need to address this year, and we'll get started right away. I don't want to be short. We had used the 15% contingency. I'd feel better with a 25%. We need $40,000 to take on this work. We had quickly estimated the repair cost, and I'm suggesting that we use the ARPA funding that we have in the amount of, I just said 40. I don't want to have to come back and ask for another 5,000. I want to be covered, and anything that we have that remains from that we put in next year's budget if that would be allowed, or would that money just go back to ARPA?
It goes right back into ARPA.
And then I'm making a request for 50.
Not going to do the repairs now.
We're going to get after it. Yeah.
Just before winter.
We're going to get started. Yes. Yep. We can't do all of them at one time, but we're going to do it.
Worst first or whatever.
Yes.
So I'll make that motion that we commit $50,000 to the sewer sinkhole repair project.
And if we do that, they can. I'll second. And if we commit the 50, and it goes into next year, is that still okay?
Yes, because the ARPA funds are set totally separate.
Do you have any idea when you would expect, at least the identified ones so far, to be fixed?
Well, we've already started. We just...
Now that you've got the money.
No, we're just going to continue that effort.
So would you get spring? Would you...
Yes, I would be hopeful to have these addressed by spring next year. We would be working on some over the winter. We have a sinkhole underneath the Fox River Trail. And
that's the county's problem.
They told us that it's our storm sewer that's causing the sinkhole, and the best time to go in and do that work would be in the winter. We're going to probably have to open excavate that one. We'll get an excavator in there, dig down.
Can you clarify your motion? Commit $50,000 from ARPA funds?
Yes.
And a recommendation to the board?
Correct.
Doesn't have to go Monday night.
Okay.
All right, all those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, Webster Avenue televising contract.
So this is just a report to you guys to let you know that we had put out a contract for the televising of the Webster Avenue sanitary and storm sewer. Those bids will open tomorrow. The work will be staged by street segment, with the first segment of storm and sanitary sewer being televised by November 5th. Then, after that, followed by the segment of Webster from Roselawn to that would be 172, and then from Alloway Avenue North to the Green Bay limits end of this year. Once we have that information, we'll be able to look at it and determine what is needed for the repair of that infrastructure.
Find it now. Didn't I read in there someone estimated that to be $90,000?
Yes.
Yeah. For the televising.
Which includes the launching of the sanitary sewer laterals at roughly speaking, yeah. $150 a pop. So,
that's an RFB, it's just a bid, right?
Yep.
Is staff available to see the televising? Or does the contractor do it separately and then just report on what they found? Or are you able to...
Oh, they give us the televising. Yeah. We look at it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
It's recorded video?
Yeah.
And then you can do whatever you want
Yes,
with that?
Yes, we look at it, yes. They generate a hard copy report identifying every defect in the pipe. Mm-hmm. And then there's a video that goes along with that that corresponds to the report that they provide. And there's an audio associated with it. They'll stop and look at joints. They'll stop and look at a defect, a crack, protruding lateral. They'll stop and look at. It seems like a lot of money to televise, but that cost includes temporary traffic control on Webster Avenue, which will require lane closure, the cleaning before they televise, and the bypass pumping. That would be required.
Mm-hmm.
To your block.
What?
To your block.
That's all I have for that.
Construction project updates.
I'm happy to announce that the work on Roselawn has been completed. The street was paved yesterday, so when you get a chance, drive it. It turned out wonderful.
How's the sidewalk look?
We didn't put it aside.
Underground, made out of gravel.
Mr. Gay, don't say those things.
It turned out wonderful. I have received some compliments from residents on Roselawn. Keep in mind that we'll be back out there to look at the landscape restoration, and we hold my to touch up landscaping in the spring. So. On Beaumont Street, the curb and gutter has been placed along with the gravel.
Sidewalks are in there, I saw.
Yes, they've started that. Yeah, I would say about 50% of the concrete driveways and concrete.
So it looks good. I mean, even just the curb gutter gravel.
Yes. Looks, yeah.
Great improvement.
It's progressing. We're hopeful to have that work completed, the concrete work, by middle to end of next week, and then the following, have Northeast Asphalt and then Flying Grade and pave.
And they're usually good, depending on the weather, mid-November, and that's pretty much it.
We're hoping to get
early.
We're hoping to get done by end of October, first week of November. We've been extremely fortunate with the weather that it's been so nice. I didn't look at the extended forecast, but I know we're looking at favorable temperatures and weather for another week. Knock on wood. We need that to get these projects done. On Cobb Avenue, the grading and excavating has started. Utility work has been completed. That one will get pushed right to the end. When Summers is finished with the concrete work on Beaumont, they're going over there to put curb and gutter and concrete driveways in. And then Northeast Asphalt will be in there first week of November, to find granite paint. So.
Well, I've got a couple of comments about St. Mary's, and they say it's beautiful. So
good to hear.
Nice job.
Yeah, our street resurfacing and rehabilitation project is finished. I think it was five streets in an alley behind Associated Bank. So, yeah, that was St. Mary's, Hilltop, McCormick, Cobb. Which one was
this? Rosemont.
Thank you, Rosemont. Yeah.
I know people on Hall and McCormick that are very happy.
Sure.
And I know some people on Hilltop that had expressed their concern in the spring, and they were put it on the calendar, and they were quite pleased to. I think that was the better part of one block. But it's,
yeah. Clay to Della, and we're working on our street resurfacing project right now. We're putting together the plans. We're going to likely do the same thing. We'll have alternates included. We get good pricing, and we'll pick on all of them.
Yep, we may have some excess.
That's awesome.
Bond money.
Yeah. Yeah.
And all the sanitary works then?
All of the lining work has been completed, along with the removal and replacement of the sanitary laterals on St. Mary's.
Nice work, Mr. Jean.
Thank you, and I'll let the guys know that as well.
Yes. Good work.
Excellent.
All right, motion to adjourn.
Jim Raptor.
Second.
Second.
Gingrich, the Jim Squared. All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Stand adjourned.
So, Sean, I have a question.
Yeah.
The trucks being constructed, if rocks come off of their vehicle and hit your windshield and crack it, is there